Hey, Carly.
Oh, hi, Michael.
Hey, I thought it'd be cool if you and me sat down and talked a little bit about our trip to Japan.
I hate talking about our trip to Japan.
Everyone loves it. We traveled there. We went there. It was your first time. It was my second time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of fellow nerds, lovers of video games and anime and or just food or whatever, Japan is this huge, amazing destination, but it's a little bit scary because it theoretically is hard to get around or, you don't speak the language.
But so, we're here to say if us two dum-dums could do it, then pretty much anyone could.
Yeah. So we thought, we were talking and we're like, well, why don't we make a little series and talk about a bunch of different stuff that we experienced in Japan and maybe give people some hints and tips and reassurance and, mm-hmm. and whatnot of what to do when they're there. So this is the first one we're going to do. I believe we're planning on doing 5 of these.
Yes.
So this one is just going to be about traveling and getting around, but we're also going to talk about our general highlights, the kind of nerdy stuff we did there.
Food.
They're going to talk about food, and we're going to talk about the reason why we went there in the first place. The thing that facilitated us going to Tokyo and Japan was we went to TGS, which is Tokyo Game Show. So we're going to talk about Tokyo Game Show a bit as well. But this one, we're just going to talk about traveling and getting around and what that is like.
Because it is definitely pretty nerve-wracking trying to figure it out there.
Yeah. I think maybe, first off, I think just actually getting to Japan.
Yeah.
Right? It's you think it's 20 hours or, it's some crazy amount of time in an airplane to get to Tokyo.
It can be, but it doesn't have to be.
Yep. Anyone on the West Coast is going to have a much better time getting there.
But we're on the East Coast.
We're on the East Coast. We're kind of towards the middle, though.
Kind of.
So we went out of Toronto, which if that's an option for you, that's a fantastic option.
Yeah, we looked at quite a lot of airports kind of around the area of Michigan, Ontario, and New York. And that ended up being the cheapest one. We were looking at Rochester and Detroit,
Buffalo.
And Toronto had some really good sales getting to Japan. And I think they just introduced a new airline where you can fly into, it's not Narita Airport, which is the one right by Tokyo, but it's one closer to, I think, Osaka. And I think that it's pretty good pricing if that's an option. And on that note, and we'll talk about it in the food episode, going to Osaka is now we are planning going back at some point, but we loved Osaka.
Yeah, we're not. That is, it's an amazing destination.
Yeah.
It's got almost all the stuff you can get in Tokyo and, but more room to breathe. People are kind of nicer. We'll get into that later.
Yeah. ended up buying our plane tickets probably, 7 months before we left? But I hear that there's a sweet spot that is you buy it on a Tuesday 3 months before you go, and that's generally the best time to buy a ticket to anywhere. Right. We are both two people with anxiety and could not could not wait to, get that close to our travel date to do that. So we ended up finding a sale.
We were excited too,
We kind of put forth a price of how much we want to pay for these tickets and just waited for it to hit that price and bought. So it probably went cheaper, but
yeah. So, I felt fine about that.
Yes.
And the amazing thing about going into Toronto is you can get a direct flight.
Yeah.
And the direct flight from Toronto is 14 hours or so, which is a long time and very hellish experience being in an airplane for that long. But it's way better than a lot of the flights. Once you don't go direct, you get a layover
30
somewhere.
Hours, probably.
Yeah.
A lot of them.
It jumps to some huge number. It's almost always 30, 36 hours to get there. So,
and from our experience flying over there, and I'm usually an excellent sleeper, you know, put me in a vehicle 5 minutes later, I could be asleep. I could not fall asleep at all on the way there. And I was getting restless leg, and it was just a nightmare for me. And I was exhausted by the end of it. So I can't even imagine if we hadn't flown direct what that would be.
And maybe a little bit like about time, like when to get there, because like we flew, so Tokyo is 14 hours ahead of us in here in the Eastern time zone. So like if you leave, and the flight is around 14 hours. So let's say you leave at 2 o'clock on Tuesday, you know, in the afternoon, you're going to get there essentially at like 4 or 5 o'clock the next day. And, you know, you're going to have the first day is basically a waste. You're going to be dead on your feet. So essentially, I think the strategy that we used, which I think worked pretty well, was get there kind of in the later afternoon and then just try to stay up until at least 9, 10 o'clock.
And then just sleep,
And then you just pass out and you're cool.
Except we were really excited once we got there. We kind of wanted to walk around a little bit. We stayed in Ikebukuro for our first Airbnb, and it's an awesome area. And there was so much to look at that we kind of, you know, we stayed up a little bit later than we thought we would, but
it was worth it. Yeah, no, it was great. And we, you know, we were excited to do it, and you'll be excited too.
Yeah.
And that's a great segue into the next bit, which is like where to stay.
Yeah.
Hotels are actually, especially in Tokyo.
Yeah, not bad.
They're not bad at all, but we did all Airbnbs.
Yeah, the whole time, except for we stayed in a ryokan. A traditional inn one night, but the whole time it was Airbnbs. And we probably paid, $80 to $90 US a night.
Yeah.
It was crazy cheap.
It's real good. And, your host will actually kind of take care of you a little bit. Like, I don't think we ever saw any of our hosts, but we could call them or we could message them if we needed to.
And we did.
And we did.
We got locked out of our Airbnb because they changed the password to get into the and I guess there were notices up, but we couldn't read them.
Nope.
So we had to call them and with the little Japanese that I knew, I called him and it just said emergency. And I don't think he understood me because I'm not that great. But so a really nice person living in the building helped us in.
Yeah. So, and you know, they'll usually leave you a little like a travel Wi-Fi thing.
Yeah.
All of our Airbnbs had that.
Yep.
I mean, you want to check before because you definitely need that, but...
Yeah, and so, Michael, you had your...
I have T-Mobile.
Yeah, so T-Mobile worked over in Japan as well.
Yeah.
Mine didn't.
It doesn't cost anything extra or anything like that.
So I made a lot of use of the pocket Wi-Fi, and I just used that the whole time, and I had it on airplane mode otherwise.
Yeah.
So that was extremely helpful for me, especially since I wanted to go hunt Pokemon.
So that was the pocket Wi-Fi is definitely a must because the way you get around is Google Maps. Google Maps works amazingly well.
And it was the only reason we found a lot of the places.
Yeah, you just put in where you want to go and it tells you it's like the trains we ran into maybe, I would say, moderate difficulty figuring out which train was the right train.
Yeah,
but you can always sort it out pretty quickly, and it's like 2 minutes between trains no matter what.
Yeah. Speaking of the pocket Wi-Fi, in the last Airbnb, it didn't actually list in the listing if it had it or not. So there are services that you can go online and reserve a pocket Wi-Fi, and they'll deliver them straight to the address. So when you get there, you just pick it up. On your way home, there's an envelope that you just drop it in, and then you hand it in to the post office, and that's it. It was great.
On my first trip, I stayed at a hotel, and I rented a pocket Wi-Fi, and they just had it waiting for me when I got to the hotel. So that was really nice.
That's kind of the one thing that we found out about Japan, is that like anything we needed... It was so easy to get, and everyone was extremely helpful in getting us, you know, those things that we needed, you know, essentials for the trip. Right. So that was yep. nice.
So yeah, so that is really like, you can get pretty much anywhere you need to go. You're going to be taking trains.
A lot.
Like, I think you can take, I don't know, there's taxis and stuff like that.
And we did use an Uber when we first got there because we didn't know where it was extremely disorienting. So, and we had all this luggage and we needed to get to, mm-hmm. you know, like we would have had to bring it on the train and that would have just been a nightmare. So we did take an Uber and you can't, and he was pretty good with like, you know, we're these dummies that don't know the language, but you know, he knew enough English that he was like, yeah, no problem. And we got to, you know, we just showed them Google Maps at that point. And he was like, ah, okay.
Right. Yeah. You know, we actually did. We did end up taking a few taxis, right? And they were all like really nice. Like
really
the guy.
Nice.
It's always, they're always like, they were in like white gloves. I mean, it's fairly ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. We had one in Kyoto. Then that guy was awesome.
But, you know, but again, mostly you're going to be wanting to go to use the trains because the subways in Tokyo are amazing.
Yeah.
And you can get anywhere and it's super easy.
Yeah. And Google Maps, it tells you which train to get on, which platform to go to. Right. And it'll be here at this time. And it's amazing.
Right. It'll be like at 4:32, this is when the next train's coming.
Yeah.
All that stuff. What are some other tips? Like,
well, we did a lot of walking, like a lot of walking. We ended up walking something like at least 10 miles a day.
Yep.
So everything is so clumped together that walking is often your best option. Unless, you know, you're going far and then you need the train. But, like, we planned it out so that on Tokyo, you know, we knew that we wanted to hit these whatever boroughs. And so we'd pick a borough that we wanted to go to that day. The first day we went to Nakano Broadway.
Oh, right.
Yeah. And we just, you know, we went to where we knew that was. And then we just walked the whole time.
And it was it was by choice, right?
Yeah, like, definitely.
We did a ton of walking,
you
but I think
see
we wanted to.
So much that way. And like so many things we saw that and so many arcades that we went into just because we walked by them. But okay, so hey, pro tip number one, I had pretty comfortable shoes. That was fine. What I didn't have was insoles. And at the end of the day, I was nearly in tears because we walked so much that I was like,
used to it.
Oh my God, I can't do this. Like my feet hurt so bad. We went to Tokyu Hands, which is kind of their big department store there. They have Tokyu Hands everywhere. And they're really nice.
It's like a weird somewhere. I don't know. Would you call it like a Target?
Yeah, except it was nicer.
They've got like luggage and things like that. But they have like, you know, if you need insoles, if you need shoes, if you need...
Or they have like anything from the pharmacy quote, but like drugstore or like every floor in Tokyu Hands is a different like section.
Mm-hmm.
So we went and got insoles there and boy, that completely changed the entire experience.
A lot better.
Yeah, if you're going to go and you're going to be walking around, please get insoles for your shoes. It will save you.
And the other thing is definitely bring Advil with you.
That was
I think our biggest unexpected snafu.
Yeah, because Japan has extremely stringent drug laws. There are a bunch of prescription medication I couldn't bring into the country. And there's stuff that I have been able to bring everywhere else. Could not bring it to Japan, though. A good example is you cannot bring allergy medication. And allergies in Japan are extremely bad. They have a really high pollen count. So just keep that in mind if you're going to go and you have allergies, maybe go in the seasons where you're not going to be so affected.
Yeah.
But yeah, we had to get Bufferin. If you're in Japan and you need painkillers, what you're going to ask for is Bufferin. And that's the, like, it's like a Tylenol.
And they only have it in very, very specific places.
Yes.
It isn't just like the corner store. Like,
no, you have to go to a pharmacy and often the pharmacies are closed and it was a challenge just trying to find some.
Right. Anything you need is super easy to get anywhere in Tokyo except painkillers of some kind. But yeah, bring Advil.
Bring it.
You're going to need it because you're going to be, you know, probably walking around a lot.
And, dragging luggage around. And
maybe, you know, drinking a lot of Shochu.
Yes.
Shochu is amazing. It is like a tasteless alcohol that they usually put fruity stuff in, and it is deadly.
I'm not a huge drinker. Man, I drank a lot of shochu on that trip.
It is delicious, it's very good. You barely can tell you're drinking alcohol.
Yeah, so it's dangerous. Getting onto the subway, there are machines everywhere. You're going to want to go and get something called a Suica card, that's S-U-I-C-A, right, or Passmo card, and both of them will work on the trains there, but only specific lines, like, because... everything is not run, the trains aren't run by, say, the government, like it, say, would be in New York City, or I don't know, that's true in New York City, in Toronto, that we have like a transit commission that's run by the city. It's not that. They're private companies in Tokyo. So you need to buy, I mean, we got a Suica card and it worked on every train we needed to go on. Yeah. And if it didn't, we just went to the other line. Right. And you can reload these, so you'll end up, I mean, we ended up spending not that much. It's like $2 a trip or something. So maybe like $5 on a day each we'd be using these. And the good thing about Suica cards is there are vending machines everywhere in Tokyo. And the Suica cards work on the vending machines.
So, you can get yourself some Pocari Sweat. Maybe CC Lemon.
Beard Papa.
Man, I love CC. I forgot about CC Lemon. And
we'll talk about these things in the food episode.
So our other sort of huge snafu that we ran into also did involve a train. It involved the bullet train.
Oh, this was a nightmare.
Okay, so one thing that I would definitely suggest doing is getting the week-long JP Rail, or what is the...
There's two of them, and I cannot remember. It's either the JR Pass or the...
I think it's the JR Pass.
Yeah, I think we got the JR Pass. And the JR Pass works on the bullet trains.
It works on most of the bullet trains.
It doesn't work on all the bullet trains. So if you get a JR pass, which, you know, it's great if you're leaving the city, you have to go on the Hikari line or the line, even the slower line. There is the Nezumi line, I believe it is. You cannot go on that with the JR. And we found that out because we got on it and they asked us to leave.
We were asked to leave. There's basically one train. It looks exactly like the other trains. It is on the same line. It is, everything is the same about it, except that it goes to, like, I think it's like, it's basically the express, I think, for commuters or something like that. Yeah. I don't know. But essentially it's like you could easily mistake it for the train you want. So that would be the only bit that I would.
That day when we got on the wrong train and then had to get off to other train is when we forgot my backpack on the train. And my backpack had my DSLR camera and my laptop in it. So we found this out as soon as we got onto the other train. I was kind of looking at my stuff and just my stomach just sank. And so we called. We were extremely lucky in the fact that I had a buddy that we had met up at the Tokyo Game Show through work. He had been living in Japan for a while. He was able to call, and they only speak Japanese. He was able to call the station Lost and Found. And then he was not too far away, and he ended up going down there and grabbing my bag, which got turned in. And by the way, bring another kind of side story. Japan is a lost and found culture, and they are extremely honest about lost items. And like, you look up the facts, but the amount of money that is turned into police boxes in Japan is just mind-blowing. Like, even the smallest amounts, they will turn back in. We were very lucky that someone found my bag. They turned it into the Lost and Found, and we were running back to the airport at that point. So it was either I was getting it now or I wasn't getting my bag at all. My friend Robert grabbed it for me. We were running through the station to get to another train to get to the airport. He met us halfway, threw me the bag, and we kept going, and saved my life. So thanks, Robert.
Pretty crazy. Circling back though on that JP Rail or the JR Pass, sorry, JR Pass. So it basically, it was I think like $200 or something like that.
Yeah. And at one point, you were not able to buy it in Japan. You had to buy it.
Now you can. Yes. Yeah. You had to get it online. It's only for foreigners.
But now you can. And there's a bunch of stations in Japan that sell it in Tokyo. Mm. I think Tokyo Station, I know Ikebukuro Station did, Shibuya Station. But all that information is online. So you can buy it once you're there.
And nobody knows this. Like, everyone will tell you, no, you have to get it before.
and because the rule was just changed. Like, it's only been,
So basically, if you're gonna travel outside of Tokyo, it's for what is the same cost to do a round trip ticket to, I think, Kyoto. You get the pass, which lets you go anywhere you want for 7 days. So essentially, you can just like get that. If you're gonna go anywhere, it's worth it.
Yeah,
and you can just pick where you want to go, and there's bullet trains that will take you there, and they're, you know, fast and nice.
And one day we canceled our plans and just decided we're going to go to Yokohama because they had a ramen museum, and so that we just used our JR rail pass, did that, came back to Tokyo a couple hours later.
Mm-hmm. And those run like all the time too. Those run like every 20 minutes or something. Yeah. It's nuts.
And they are crazy fast.
They are. It is an experience. I would suggest doing it just because it's a cool experience.
Yeah, and the scenery, definitely you can see it kind of fading away from the mega city of Tokyo into the smaller outlying cities was really neat. The architecture changed dramatically. There you got to see the mountains everywhere, and it was super cool.
Very, very cool. When we were in Kyoto, we rented bikes.
Yeah, it was extremely easy. It cost us like, 1,000 yen each, which is like about $10 each. And it came with a bottle of water, and the guy, he was a young guy that rented them to us. It was super nice. And they have like these neat locking systems. So our plan was we were going to do a bike tour of all the shrines in Kyoto. What we didn't know is that there is nowhere to park your bike because you are not allowed to park it on the side of the road or on the sidewalk or anything like that. You have to do it in specific areas. So, and there isn't really a lot of resources online to tell you where those areas might be. So it ended up being a little bit of a bust for us just because we ended up walking our bikes up this massive hill to get to a shrine and
through a crowd of
so many people. And
it was brutally hot.
Brutally hot. Oh, yeah. So if you're thinking about going to Japan, don't go when it's hot because it's hot as hell.
Yeah, it gets real hot there.
We went in mid-September. Admittedly, I think it was hotter than it usually is.
But it was unusually hot.
Next time, I would plan to go for maybe like the first week of October or something like that. Just because we got back to our hotel or our Airbnb at the end of the day. It's just like, well, it's time to change again.
Right.
It's just, yeah.
And we overpacked, but we ended up still like having to like wash our clothes
a couple times. Yeah. And stuff like that. It was so hot.
It was a sweaty mess.
Yeah. What were other some like essential stuff that we needed to bring that we're like, oh, thank God I packed that thing?
You know what? A battery, a battery
yeah,
charger. A phone charger. We had,
we ended up buying one in Tokyo too, another one.
Mm hmm. And we use those constantly.
Yeah, to charge our phone because we were taking a million pictures. We were hunting Pokemon. But yeah, we just make sure you have like a pretty good battery pack for your phone because you'll go through it a lot faster than you would here.
Yeah, because you're relying on it so heavily.
Yeah.
And you do need a pretty simple adapter, which you can get in any of the electronic stores. The three prong plugs, there's no three prongs anywhere. They're all similar to our two prong. So you just need to get a 3-to-2 adapter.
One thing I kind of want to touch on because it's something that I had to go through was getting something called a Yakon Shome. So that's YAKKNSHOUMEI, Yakon Shome. It is any medication that you're bringing into Japan, you have to declare and you have to get it approved by someone in one of the health offices in Japan before you go. And it was really fast. I mean, I probably left it a little bit too long, so it was stressing me out a little bit. But like, if you know when you're going to go, do it right away. You can look up all the information online. But you essentially just have to submit what medication you're going to be bringing into the country, list out all of its, you know, uses and blah, blah, blah. And they may get back to you and ask you for a prescription or for a doctor's note or something like that. But it is something to be aware of. Now, they don't always check them. They didn't end up checking mine. And but I'm very glad I had it because, you know, if I came there and, you know, they had to take away all of my medication, I would have been kind of
boned. Yeah. And like, you're not going to, anything that's like resembles a painkiller, you're not going to. They're not like codeine based stuff is not going to work. It's a no-no, yeah.
And your allergy medication, forget it. The whole culture is extremely strict against drugs.
Yeah. Oh, I guess the other just sort of weird basic thing is Tokyo is so dense that a lot of things are on like the seventh floor.
Yeah, that's a good point.
New York City, everything is residential, like above the first floor, but like in Tokyo, all sorts of stuff will be way up high in buildings.
Yeah, and it's like restaurants or your the arcade you want to go to or anything. The nice thing is that they usually have a picture map, like a picture of what is not necessarily a map with pictures, but large pictures, the name of whatever it is in Japanese. And you can usually kind of suss out what it is, like, oh, that's a tempura restaurant, or that's a sushi restaurant, or that's a massage parlor. Like, you can... The pictures are indicative, but do a lot of research. If you really want to hit up some places, find out beforehand. We made a Google map and we dropped pins and shared it with each other. And then anytime we found a place like, oh, that would be cool, we just added a new pin. And then we got to open that map while we were there and use it while we were, we're in this area. Let's check out what pins we dropped there.
And the other thing, too, is numbers are not sequential on roads. Yeah. And what I heard, and, you know, this is the internet and I'm helping the internet spread more internet stuff. But my understanding is that as they built the buildings, they number them. And so it's like they don't go in order. So you can't a lot of your skills that you use here as a Westerner do not apply to finding places.
That's why Google Maps.
Yep. And I would just, you know, you got to plan stuff ahead of time. You got to know where you're going.
I think as far as traveling goes, I can't really think of anything else.
Yeah, I'm sure stuff will pop up in the other ones of these that we do. But I think that should cover most things. Yeah. So we're posting this on a page on geeklyinc.com. And if you have any specific questions, anything that you're wondering about or worried about, just pop a comment on this page and we will be checking it and we'll do our best to answer them.
Or feel free to tweet at us directly. I'm on Twitter at AnimatedMe with the E's as threes.
And I'm at ThriftyNerd.
And as I would say in Japan, arigatou gozaimashita.
And I would just wave.
Michael's good with words.